The Good Shepherd Sunday gives us a lot to think about, a lot to examine in our society, in ourselves, in the role that we play. Remember, all of us look to Christ as our shepherd, and to him we are sheep receiving. At the same time, he says, as you have freely received, so now you go freely give. We see Peter and the apostles and the entire church now turned shepherd for the sake of bringing the food of God to feed the world, to nourish the world, materially, but especially spiritually. And we ponder a little bit, like we said earlier, like we're talking about the successors of the apostles, bishops, priests, we pray for them. We recognize the greatness of their lives, but also maybe the shortcomings, the tragedies that have come through their own deficiencies. We pray for that reality. But then we look in the mirror, because each one of us in some way, parent, godparent, grandparent, mentor for others, co-worker in my office, having an influence on those around me, in some way, each one of us is invited to be a shepherd of the sheep, to bring the love of God, the truth of God, the nourishment of God to those he's put in my care, and especially to their souls, the souls of those he's put in my care. There's a video, I've seen two different videos that, well, they're kind of strangely similar, but there's a black and white video of a sheep stuck in a crevice. And the shepherd is like, two shepherds are like reaching and trying to pull this poor little sheep out of this crevice. And they finally get him out. And the sheep runs, happy jumping, and jumps right back into the crevice a little while later. It's like, wow, that's the sheep. And it's not easy to lead the sheep that like to go in circles and go nowhere. And it's especially hard, I think, in this day and age, because the sheep in our society, and we ourselves, as at times sheep, right, receiving, called to then give, we live in a society which rejects the cornerstone, right? The stone which the builders rejected, our Lord has made it the cornerstone, but sometimes that church isn't appealing in our society today, and society pushes it away. The society that doesn't like shepherds, doesn't want to be shepherded. They tell our sheep that there is no real truth, no real point of reference outside of ourselves. That the idea of someone actually knowing the right way of truth is mere arrogance. And the worst sin is to judge good or evil for someone else. You should just be tolerant of everything and everyone. Remember what happened to Christ, the Good Shepherd, right? What happened to him? The world didn't receive him, crucified him. So suddenly, in our day and age, there's an extra challenge. And we are the shepherds, even the church sometimes, doubts that foundation, right? Do I have a leg to stand on? Can I be the shepherd? Is it even worth trying? Is the burden too heavy today? Have I missed opportunities to nourish my sheep, the ones entrusted to me, or to nourish myself, to be a better shepherd? Have I missed those opportunities? And our Lord Jesus makes a contrast in today's gospel. He focuses on the Good Shepherd first. He's talking about himself, but of course we see from the first reading and the early Christian community, even ourselves, like the Good Shepherd that we are all called to be. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd is devoted to his sheep no matter what, nourishing them in season and out of season, when they want it and they delight in it and it's easy and the teachings are not so hard and it's love your neighbor and be kind and be forgiving and merciful. But he also gives them the hard teachings, the tough love. Devoted to them when they don't even want to receive it, he's still there for them, waiting for the moment when they will receive it. Forgive your enemy. And so many other teachings that today in our day and age, we're like, oh my gosh, that's hard. I can't follow that. That doesn't make sense to me. Well, that's uncomfortable for me. So I didn't follow it when I was growing up, so how dare I pass it on to my children when they're growing up? I'm going to just keep that one off the plate. We're not always there sometimes. The Good Shepherd would hide nothing from them, would provide all that they need. Not just the cotton candy and the cookies, but even the hard stuff, the real deeper nourishment. He protects them from sin. Our Lord protects them from sin, the dangers to their souls. But he contrasts that with his idea of a mercenary, the hired hand. The word mercenary is the idea of reward, right? You work for the merchandise, the Mercedes, the thing you get out of it. That's why you work. That's why you're a shepherd. You seem to be a shepherd. But really it says, Jesus says, the hired hand works for pay. His sheep are not his own. When he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. So it's that image of someone whose devotion to the sheep, the souls in his care, the sheep, is conditioned. It's limited within some sphere of selfishness, some sphere of fears, insecurities. Is limited by convenience or by his attachments to things or her attachments to things. How do you know which one you are? Or how do you know when you're being a good shepherd? And maybe when you're tempted to be something less. And I appreciate it says, he sees the wolf coming and runs away. So I want to invite us to reflect a little bit. A little examination of conscience. The wolves. What are the wolves? The dangers to the souls entrusted to your care, but the dangers from which you and I may flee. Instead of standing between the wolf and the sheep, I kind of balk and run away. What are the things that undermine my commitment as shepherd in easy times and hard times? What are the things that show that underneath my service, maybe I'm simply settling for a conditional commitment to the good of the souls of my sheep? I seem like a shepherd, yet I'm not always there to give them the hard stuff that they need, or to confront hard things that are coming at them, and I kind of check out. So a little examination of conscience, because it's asking really, where am I vulnerable in my role as shepherd? What are the wolves that have an effect that influences me, and an effect on me that changes what I would do, and that because of my absence, the sheep suffer? So there's some obvious ones, and we'll just kind of list off a few. First of all, my own laziness and my formation, right? The intimidation of the formation required of me that intimidates me, that wolf comes at me, and I'm like, nope, I'm out. I'm just going to settle for mediocrity in my faith, my formation. That impatience that I struggle with, that the anger issues I have when I just lash out at those entrusted to my care, I'm just going to let that stay because I can't overcome it. I give up. Let them settle for my deficiencies. And I leave the sheep exposed to things I didn't form. The wolf came, and I checked out. My lack of understanding of my faith, my insecurity in my trust in God and in the ways He taught me, I haven't formed myself. And so I wasn't there to give answers that my kids needed, my sheep needed. Well, I thought, this is going to be too hard. I didn't really live it myself, so I'm going to not really pass that on to them. When I do some retreats with young adults, and we go into some really tough topics, there's the theology of the body, other things that John Paul II and others passed on to us. You know what the young adults say when we finish? They say, how come no one ever taught me this? And the challenge is, where were the shepherds who should have known? And maybe you didn't know in the 80s and 90s, but people, it's been a long time now. We better get to know this stuff. Because the sheep are the ones suffering from our lack of formation. We can't settle for mediocrity in how we pray, how we pass on the faith to others, how we go into the challenges coming at the church today, answer those challenges, and learn how to explain those answers well to a community that is so full of questions today. I can't run away from the intimidating factor of my formation. That wolf, so to speak, my laziness, whatever it is, I need to confront it. If I'm afraid of being wrong, that's a good fear to overcome. The worst thing to do is not even try to be right, to forfeit, to lose by forfeit, by not even trying to do better at explaining the right way, the true way. Another thing I wrote down was, and look, remember, this is all of us, right? This is you all the shepherds, I'm the shepherd. It's something for all of us to really go deep in this weekend. Fear of others' esteem being taken. Fear of others' opinions. Of losing others' esteem, fear of others' opinions, fear of losing friends, fear of not fitting in. That's a wolf coming at me. I'm afraid. I run away. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to teach my family to be a kind of a public religious person because that's not popular today. I don't want to pray at the restaurant before we sit down to dinner. I don't want to like interrupt things and teach my kids and my family to kind of openly bear witness to the love of Christ, to the guy on the street, or to the truth of Christ in an unpopular situation. I don't want to invite their friends to come to Mass with us. I don't want to invite my kids to confession because I'm not sure I want to go, so I don't invite them. And that fear of others' opinions. What will Father think of me? And it keeps me out It keeps me from nourishing not only myself as a sheep from Jesus Christ, but now as a shepherd, it keeps me from nourishing the sheep in my care. If I say the hard truths in the gossiping conversation of my coworkers, there they go, talking about the other coworker, do I say nothing? Do I join in? But I'm the shepherd. Oh, they're my coworkers. God will take care of them. No, God put you there so that as you freely received, you could so freely give. Why keep silent out of fear of what they may think of you? So that wolf is real, and it comes, and what do I do? How vulnerable am I? Another one I wrote down, fear of discomfort, inconvenience. Anything that threatens my comfort zone. Like I have a little zone of what I like to do, my schedule, people I like to hang out with, people I don't hang out with. And anything in my duties as shepherd that will pull me out of that, that's a wolf, I'm afraid of it, and I stay away. I don't step in that moment. I'm focused on work. I can't mess up anything in my work, my career. That comes first. And anything that might take time away from work, no. My kids come last. Work comes first. I can't afford the risk of missing that. So that's a wolf, and I let that fear conquer me, and I leave the sheep exposed. I'm not there for them. It's Sunday morning. I'm tired. And the fact that I would have to get out of bed and bring, and maybe drag, my family to Sunday Eucharist to nourish them. That's a real wolf sometimes. Morning Father Steve is not a pleasant Father Steve. Not a morning person. And so sometimes we kind of sit back and we don't get up. And the ones who don't receive Holy Communion, the ones who are not nourished by Christ, are my own sheep that were entrusted to me to feed them. And I did not bring them. I didn't bear witness to them myself. By the way, congratulations. You're here on a Sunday morning. Yes, it's 11:30, but still, you're here, awake and alert, and well, not all of you are falling asleep yet, on a Sunday morning. So that's huge. Don't underestimate that. That is huge. And it is hard. We mentioned confession, but yeah, that inconvenience of taking time and rearranging my schedule and realizing sin is real in my own life, and sin is real in this sheep entrusted to me, their souls. And I need to bring them to that source of God's mercy. I can't hold back. Well, it's inconvenient. I'll go next year. No. We need. And more importantly, the souls of our sheep need that sacrament of Christ's mercy. The fire nights, the faith formation, the PSR. We need that. And look, a lot of people do share openly, like, it would be nice if we could do more for the formation of our kids. And the answer is, well, have you reached out to your friends? Like, no, that would be an inconvenience for me. Okay, but that's what we're doing. Letting that wolf kind of keep us intimidated, and we don't do more. We settle for the least. And yet they deserve that we be a little inconvenienced to nourish their souls. Or maybe a lot inconvenienced. What does Jesus say? The good shepherd doesn't pay a dollar for his souls. He lays down his life. The good shepherd gives to the souls when it's comfortable for him. No, he lays down his life. There's a retreat coming up in this way or that way, the men's retreat, the couple's retreat. Oh, but that's an inconvenience. That's uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to hang out with a bunch of people I don't know. So I miss it. There's a young adult retreat. There's a teen retreat. My young person could benefit from that. But you know what? They've got some other conflict, or we're not sure what we're doing yet, so we won't commit to that. It's a huge golden opportunity. Why do we not nourish them? Why do we let the nourishment of their souls come last in their life? Just because maybe it comes last at times in my life, I can't afford to let that happen for them. A lot of things. My prayer, we talked about formation, just so many fear of discomfort keeps us from doing more. Fear of being stretched as a better shepherd than I was yesterday or last year. So I settle, and I don't do what the shepherd needs to do. All these fears of inconvenience, they leave me kind of checked out when I need to be fully checked in, more committed. One last thing I wrote down, and it's kind of ironic because on the one hand, we're so afraid, we're so led, rather, and we allow other people's opinions to lead us, to guide us. We're intimidated and moved by what they might think of us, and yet when we are held accountable, when the church, the priest, my confessor, my spiritual director tries to guide me and hold me accountable for growth. We don't want to be held accountable. We don't want someone telling me what to do, correcting my formation, my faith life, my growth. I want to be a self-guided, self-sufficient guide for myself. And if that fear, that intimidation of someone else actually holding me accountable, and again, it's a wolf, and I run from that. And I don't form myself. I tend to go in circles. My faith stays where it was 5 years ago. My spiritual life is still where it was. My ability, my foundation in the faith, my moral formation, I haven't really grown because I'm following what's comfortable for me. My own judgment, my own perception is what I follow. And let no one else tell me what to do. Not the church, not Father, not my confessor. I can do this by myself. I don't trust others to lead me. That is a wolf, and I'm running afraid. So all these things, our sheep are left exposed, the wolf is there, leading them to confusion, leading them to sin, to spiritual death, and I'm too paralyzed by these fears. And I realize that underneath the surface, while I thought and wanted to be that devoted shepherd to the sheep entrusted my care, I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe there's some things I need to work on. Maybe there's some areas of vulnerability. This is not, by the way, remember, this is all of us. I'm not trying to be some sort of hypocrite. I got my stuff. But all of us need to look at the reality of our devotion to passing on the faith, nourishing the souls of the sheep entrusted to us. And if we find areas of vulnerability, fears that work over us and keep us from stepping up, doubts that get in the way of us being able to stand in front of the wolf, and instead we hesitate, we balk, or we flee and leave our children to figure it out for themselves. We leave the sheep exposed. Today's a day to pray for all the shepherds, all of us, to pray for the whole church. It's a huge task entrusted to us. We need to be more devoted to the sheep, to the souls of the sheep, more devoted to whatever I need to overcome to be a better shepherd for those entrusted to me. If I've messed up some opportunities in the past, and by the way, we had a beautiful appreciation social yesterday, so many people in this community have helped provide so many golden opportunities for others to benefit, for all of us to benefit, for our neighboring communities to benefit from. So we appreciate so much there that God has provided. The Good Shepherd has provided a lot, and others have set the table. But then we have to recognize, wait, how many of those opportunities did I not even go to? How many times there was some, I don't know, supper and substance, some talk, some retreat, some opportunity, and no one came? Because the shepherds, that wasn't a priority. Or they were afraid of something. Or they let something keep them from committing. We're about to receive Holy Communion. I'll leave off with this. You can wake up if you're sleeping. It's okay. Holy Communion, it's as shepherds, remember, our Lord nourishes us in just a few moments. Nourishes you and I as sheep, because we need that nourishment in our hearts, in the strength of our will, that it would be more Christ in me and less of my selfishness, my ignorance, my apathy, my mediocrity, more Him. That it would shine more brightly for the good of myself, but also turn around as a sheep entrusted with the care of souls. If there's anything in me that is not in communion with the shepherd, Jesus, His church, my way, my truth, my life, if there's anything in me that's divided, then communion is a moment to say, Lord, please heal that division, that hesitation in me. Go to my doubts. I give you permission to open my mind to areas where I'm struggling, to open my heart, my will to areas where I'm weak. I give you permission, and I ask that you would send others who could help me. Because I need to be the shepherd that the sheep need. I can't settle for less. I can't be content with mediocrity in my thinking, my understanding, in my heart, my will, in my formation, in my devotion ultimately to the good of the souls of my sheep. Which besides, more than the car that I hope to buy for them when they're 17 years old, don't do it. But if you do it, more important than the cell phone you buy when they're 13, don't do it. But it's the good of their soul. And if you succeed in buying the cell phone, buying the car, get into the best education, but you fail in nourishing their soul, the rest won't matter 1 ounce. You are a shepherd of their souls. I am a shepherd of your souls. When it is easy for us, And when you don't want to listen, when I don't want to listen, when our kids don't want to listen, when the world doesn't want to listen. May the Blessed Mother intercede for us, because she watched her son be the first. He doesn't just tell us to do something he doesn't do. He did it first, and the world rejected him. But then the world realized in hindsight, and over the centuries has come to beautifully realize the gift he gave. Our younger kids, when they're younger, sometimes struggle with what we have to tell them. But when they're older, sometimes they say, thank you for doing that for me. Thank you for not holding back. And especially when it comes to their spiritual good, may we realize the treasure we have, not hide it under a bushel basket, but feed them with every single opportunity that is given to us and not pass up another one. Amen? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.